Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic View. Psychic View. On PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. With your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Steve Frampton, Jackie Hahn, and Sharon Bradley. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maureen Halloran, and you are listening to the Psychic View, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. This evening, we'll be talking to our special guest, Dr. John Camiazzo. His book, Returning to the Land of Oz, and his workshop, Land of Oz Workshops, draw upon the best material from his many years of instruction and research in neuroscience, parapsychology, and medical hypnosis, and show participants how to creatively use the power of mind and the wisdom of imagination to feel motivated and inspired again, achieve work and personal goals, improve health, make positive life goals, and changes and fulfill their vast potential. So I would like to introduce my co-host this evening. And first we have Steve Frampton. Welcome, Steve. How are you doing tonight?
I'm well, thank you, Jackie. Sorry, Maureen, how are you doing?
I'm Maureen.
I'm all flustered because I've had problems with my headset and finally it's working. So I'm with you. Sorry,
Maureen. No, don't be sorry. You know, we all have these stuff. It's called the pre-retro.
It is. Every time Mercury goes into retrograde, I have problems with all of my headsets. I have three on standby and they'll all break at the same time.
Well, bless your heart, Steve. But Steve, maybe people will understand why when you tell us what you do in your work. What do you do?
Yeah, well, I'm a psychic medium, and I give readings on psychic access. I also have lots of problems with anything that's electronic. That's why I always have problems with electronic.
You see, there you have it. So that makes good sense to me, and I think you're very good. And well, Steve, bless your heart, you'll be fine. And also, I'd like to welcome Sharon Bradley, who's here. Yes.
Hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
Can you tell us about yourself?
Sure. I'm a psychic, and I have many years' experience, and I don't use any tools. I just hear from spirit, and I see visions, whatever you want to call it, from spirit. And I also am a psychic on Psychic Access, which I'm happy to be on.
We are happy that you are on there, too.
You're
great. And Jackie, how are you?
Hey, Maureen, I'm wonderful. How are you?
There you have it, laughing. Can you tell us a little about yourself, too, please?
Yes, I can. My name is Jackie Hahn, and I'm also a psychic here on PsychicAccess.com. I work closely with the angelic realm to bring through messages that are always filled with love and compassion. I find that, you know, we are challenged with readings from people who are looking for answers that we may need to give them that could fluff their feathers or ruffle their feathers, so to speak. So I make sure I'm always protected and I have their assistance when I'm giving my readings because of that. I'm also considered an empath, so I feel a lot of what the person's feeling, and I'm able to share with them that and why and ways to work through it. So I give 110% in my readings, and I really enjoy it. So, and happy to be here tonight.
Thanks, Jackie. I like how you said fluffing your feathers. It's like giving you a little hop. Put a little hop in your step.
Yeah, a little skip in your step.
You skip in your step. Something like that.
There you go.
Okay. Yes. And I'm Maureen, everybody, and I am a intuitive. I don't receive any my information from guides or angels, and not that I'm not saying that they're not there. However, I receive my information from within myself, and I'm an empath. I also do past life readings, and I'm very objective, and I help people help themselves in the direction that's best way possible for their life. And I get a lot back from my readings. When I do. So I thank everybody when they talk to me, because I get a lot back from them. People. So there you have it. And I'm also at psychicaccess.com as a reader. So, and I think, John, we have our guest with us. Oh, wait, one moment. I forgot. There's a couple of things I need to say first. See, this is Mercury retrograde, everybody. Okay, now I am honored to have this opportunity to interview our special guest tonight, Dr. John Tomiazzo. Dr. John Tomiazzo is a renowned expert in the field of human potential and transpersonal psychology. He is a former director of adult services for 3 community mental health centers in Los Angeles and 2 traumatic head and brain injury facilities in Ventura and Santa Barbara, California. His workshops and classes have helped thousands of individuals creatively use the power of the mind and the wisdom of the imagination to achieve goals, improve health, and make positive life changes. He has taught throughout the USA, Europe, and Canada. For more information about John Tomiazzo, please visit his website at http://landofozworkshops.blogspot.com. Okay, be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free reading on air with our gifted psychics here. We will announce that call-in number later. And so be sure to get a pen and pencil ready. If you were unable to catch our show on Unlocking Your Intuition last week, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all of our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the archive tab. So please feel free to circulate the archive link and future show details to your friends and family. It is our objective to connect with as many individuals in the world as possible, so please share that link with others. Can you hear me? I can hear you okay.
Good.
Okay, great. So, John, I would like to I would like to welcome you as I did, and I'd like to talk to you. I ran across you on LinkedIn. Is that what's called? Yeah? As your book is called "Returning to the Land of Oz."
Correct.
Yes, and I would like to know what gave you the inspiration to write a book with the title.
Well, I wanted to write a self-help book that was based upon a story that would resonate with people and has resonated with people, let's say, for a very long time. And I started with a few other stories, one of them being Alice in Wonderland. But I couldn't seem to go anywhere with those. And then I thought about The Wizard of Oz, which was written in 1900 by L. Frank Baum. And as I was reading the original book, which I would really recommend people to read, it just really spoke to me. And it had such incredible parallels to everyday life and issues that people face, and I thought it was one of the greater books written about personal transformation that I ever really read. And then I found out that it was the most viewed film in history, the 1939 film starring Judy Garland, which was based upon the book, had been seen by over 2 billion people worldwide, and so then I knew immediately this book has aspects to it and has a power in it that has drawn people to it for over 100 years. So that's why I picked The Wizard of Oz.
Well, you know, it is an incredible story. In fact, when we spoke the other day, we were talking, I had never read the book. And I don't think a lot of people have, actually, if you think about it. I'm not sure about that, but I don't think a lot of people have, and it's probably a good idea, because he told me something very interesting about how the Dorothy was actually in the, or the, how it actually the story goes, how it's different from the movie.
Right. Yeah. In the movie, for example, from the very beginning, Dorothy is she's twice as old as how Baum had written her. She's in the original book, Dorothy is about 8 years old, maybe 7 or 8 years old. And in the film, she's like 16, 17 years old. When she's swept up in the cyclone, they wrote it in the screenplay in the film that she was knocked unconscious by a window that had come unloosed by the force of the cyclone, and it hits her on the head, and she then gets knocked out. In the book, what happens is she notices that she's spinning around. She's afraid, but she's not that afraid because she says to herself that I'm just going to close my eyes and just be quiet and just see where this takes me. And she went into kind of a meditative state because Baum was had researched Buddhism and Taoism and meditation and things like that. And then she ends up in the land of Oz. So right from the very beginning, it was a kind of a different story.
And also at the end, you were talking about how the witch was, it was different at the very end of the movie as well.
Yeah, at the, there's a pivotal scene in the film where the witch, the Wicked Witch of the West, sets the scarecrow on fire. Dorothy grabs the bucket of water to douse the fire on the scarecrow, but it ends up going on to the witch, and she melts. Now, just prior to that, Dorothy is captive in the witch's castle, and she's pounding on the door for the three of them to help rescue her. None of those scenes appeared in the book quite like that. Dorothy has one of her shoes stolen by the witch while she's held captive in the witch's castle. She demands her shoe back, and the witch says, no, I'm not going to give you your shoe back. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take the other one also. And at that moment, Dorothy grabs a bucket of water and throws it directly on her in her frustration and anger that she took away the shoes that Glinda gave her. And then the witch melts, and then she goes out and she rescues the Scarecrow, Tin Woodman, and the Lion. So she is the one who rescues them. They don't rescue her. She confronts the witch directly and disposes of her.
So she takes back her, she has her personal power intact, obviously. And
exactly.
It's amazing, because I didn't know this when we were talking. I was like, wow, that's interesting, but everybody maybe should read the book, because I think it might have more impact. Because I was talking to you about the archetypes. The archetypes, there's a lot of symbolism in that. Well, I'm going to have to say movie, because I didn't read the book, but the story that I call because of the movie. But the archetypes are the thing that really gets, it's interesting to me, because the empowerment, and so, you know, and how you wrote your book in reflecting that. So maybe we could go down and, for instance, we could start with Dorothy. She's a woman, and we were also talking about how the writer, he was very into women's right, I mean, the woman's right to vote, right? Correct? Yes.
Yeah, he was he had four sons, and Dorothy probably is the daughter he always wanted to have. He marched with Susan B. Anthony and Mary Caddy Staton, who were both fighters for women's suffrage in the 1890s, and Baum marched with them on behalf of women, along with his wife and mother-in-law, and then wrote about women's suffrage and the rights of women in the 1890s in the newspapers that he worked for. So he was very much a progressive thinker when it came to women. And a very wonderful husband, very much in love with his wife. And I mentioned in my book that Sigmund Freud and L. Frank Baum were only born 9 days apart. And they both were writing about, Freud was writing about dreams and and dynamics of personality and things, and presenting women and little girls in not a very positive light, whereas Baum was also writing about psychology in the form of this great tale, presenting this little girl, Dorothy, in a very positive light. Matter of fact, I think The Wizard of Oz contains as much important information for us to learn from as anything that Freud had written. The thing that I found fascinating is that they were writing about personal transformation during the exact same time. I think Baum, though, was a little more advanced than Freud because he had a great relationship with his wife, whereas Freud had a terrible relationship with his wife. So beginning with Dorothy represents for me the a couple of things. She's the child archetype that C.G. Jung wrote about because she was very young. She was only, again, 7, 8 years old. So the child archetype really represents the part of us that is creative, spontaneous, playful, and kind of synthesizes both the masculine and feminine principles within people. She's a helper. She always moves through her life with an open heart. She sees the scarecrow stuck on a pole. She helps remove him from the pole. She hears the groans of the Tin Woodman and tries to help him. And he says to her, in the book at least, I don't know if he says it in the film, I've been here for over a year groaning, and no one has come to help me. You're the first person that's come to help me. And then she also helps the cowardly lion become a very courageous lion. So she's a very special young lady, full of power, full of enthusiasm, but I think she probably represents the child archetype.
Yeah, and she's fearless. She's fearless as well. I mean, fearless, yeah. You know. I was just getting chills a minute ago when you're talking about helping. There's so many people that need help, and I was talking about the community, the feeling of self-community, having people that care.
Yeah.
And I mean, I want to get back into the archetypes, but it's like what you were saying, when the scarecrow said, I've been up here for a year, no one's even, and he's been moaning and really asking for help, and no one had bothered, no one would bother with him. And that goes on a lot sometimes in our world. And it's really important for us in our personal growth, to have people that do care and that are willing, with a caring heart, an open heart. And so that's really, and I think in the movie, Scarecrow does say that, as I can recall. I remember because you just brought that up. I do remember that part. And so so without her, these other three would not ever have been able to empower themselves. Because they didn't find each other. So she is the helper, and she brings them together along with herself. They were all collectively needed in your journey.
Yes, so exactly.
So who did she find first? Is it the scarecrow? It's the scarecrow first.
You got to go back one person though. The key figure in the whole story really is Glinda, the Good Witch.
Okay.
Glinda, the Good Witch, is the one who sets her on her journey. She's like a powerful shaman or something figure. She's a very high level of consciousness, not the way she was portrayed really in the film. You know, she's got all these little dancing people around her. She's got kind of she thinks she walks around like she's a queen. No, Glinda in the book is an old, wise woman. She's not Glinda in the film. Glinda, a younger good witch, appears at the end of the book, who is Glinda. But at the very beginning of the book, Dorothy first meets a wise old woman, a wise old witch, who tells her two things. The Wizard of Oz can help you, and I'm going to give you a kiss on your forehead, and no one can harm a person who's been kissed on the forehead by the Good Witch. Oh, and she tells her one more thing. I'm going to give you these ruby red shoes, and they contain a charm, and they'll guide you on your journey. So the story begins really as a battle between the witches and between the Wicked Witch and Dorothy to get those shoes back, because the shoes belong to the Wicked Witch of the West's sister, who was the Wicked Witch of the East. And the house right. lands on her, and those shoes are sticking out. So Glinda is like a person who is like the great parent who gets their child right on track with their life.
And gives them the tools that are necessary to help. That makes sense. Yeah, to guide them on the journey when they leave, or they have to be alone, or without the parent figure. Oh, that makes some sense. I mean, too bad. Actually, they could have done a good job by putting that in the movie. They could go an old wise crone, like crone woman, a witch crone, or something like that. Well, I'm not going to change it, but. But yeah, when you're saying that, you're like, I guess I'll ask you later about it, Dan, why the younger part of the end of, you know, portrays in the end of it. But, So that was the first, I forgot about her altogether. Then she meets the scarecrow.
Exactly, yeah.
What about the dog, John? What about the dog?
Yeah, Toto. Toto's her companion. You know, she needs that little dog to go with her. It's her reference point, I think, to her past. Mm-hmm. You know?
That makes sense.
And then, like you said, yeah, she meets the scarecrow, sees him stuck on the pole, and he winks at her to make contact, and he then tells her how long he's been on the pole, and so she helps remove him from the pole, and he asks her where she's going, and I'm going to go see the Wizard of Oz. He's going to help me get back home. And then he said, you think the wizard can help me get some brains? And she says, I'm sure he can help you. And that's how it starts. Now, that piece is very similar to the film. Mm-hmm. So I think the scarecrow represents the stuck man, the person who is stuck in life and doesn't use his brain or her brain in ways that help move a person forward. So in that part of the book, I go on talking about this miracle that we have called our brain, and what this brain of ours is able to do. It's, you know, a very complex organism, but it's an amazing organism because it basically controls every movement we make, every gesture, every feeling, every thought, every step, just about anything we do in the course of a day, all of those movements are controlled by the brain. We take it for granted. I don't take it for granted because I spent 6 years as a director in a brain injury facility working with people who had traumatic head and brain injuries, and so I can see how impact on the brain by a fall or an accident or even a stroke, my goodness, it just totally dampens a person's life. You know, they're just changed forever.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because last 2 weeks ago, my father had he's in Stone Hospital, and he actually had a brain a situation, lack of oxygen, and I was thinking about, and he's a very intelligent man, he's older, but he has a very good brain, he's always sharp, and I was thinking about, and he couldn't, it broke my heart watching it. He's doing quite well, though, but it's amazing that he's doing quite well, because they always think, well, you're that old, it's not going, nothing's going to come back, but he couldn't understand what a spoon, I could see his frustration, he couldn't understand what a spoon was, he didn't know what a spoon was, and what it would to be used for. Because his brain was affected, and so it's true, we do take it for granted. And because I was thinking about that, I go, my gosh, every step, every movement, everything, every thought, our brain. And so, without that, vessel, you know, but so, and I like how you said in the beginning that it represents a male that doesn't use his brains, because, well, I could go into that a little bit more with the man, but it goes for everybody, I guess, but a lot of us don't use our brains when we have our brains tapped.
Yeah, and sometimes we keep on making the same error over and over and over again, and we make strange decisions, bad decisions sometimes. So I think the scarecrow really is it kind of represents the part of us that wants to be able to make good decisions and to use this brain in all of its capacity. Because every time you have a positive thought about anything, or you notice something that's beautiful, or you look at a picture and it makes you smile, or you listen to the music that's pleasing, or you're in a conversation with someone, immediately your brain chemistry is altered in the most positive way. The brain chemicals are released that quickly result in feelings of enjoyment, harmony, and the whole body responds. All the muscles respond as this brain chemistry, it now enters into the bloodstream. The opposite happens, though, when you have a negative thought, or you start having depressive thoughts, or you start noticing how awful everything is. your brain chemistry then shifts, and your mood shifts, and your body changes in response to the chemistry that's being released, or not being released. And because in the spirit of optimism, the brain lights up very differently than it does when a person's depressed. So in other words, you can alter your brain chemistry in a matter of milliseconds just by your thoughts and your perceptions.
Yeah, I agree, because I know that my negative thoughts, my mind or body's always played into it. I've been physically hurt because of negative things. You know, Jackie is a host also. She had a question she'd like to ask you. Jackie, go ahead. It's a good question.
Oh, thanks, Maureen. Hi, John. How are you this evening?
Hi.
I was listening to what you were saying before about the brain and how, and I do believe, of course, that it's kind of runs everything. But my interest is in the mind and how the two work together, and what's sort of the differentiation between the brain and the mind. If you could enlighten us a little on that.
Well, I think of the brain really as the physical thing that is there, the physical organism, and the 400 miles of blood vessels and all the physiology of it. The mind, though, is about consciousness, how we take what this brain can do and what we end up doing with it. There's a saying that you only use 10% of your brain, which is totally incorrect. We always use 100% of our brain, always. But some people have more connections with the neural cells in the brain than other people, because every time you have a new thought, which is the mind, the brain makes new connections. So mind and brain work beautifully together. As you develop higher consciousness and more positive thinking and improved lifestyle. So it's a matter of taking what God gave us and using it in productive ways. So you want to end up, hopefully, year after year, having a sharper mind, a more intuitive mind, a more spiritual mind. But I see that's how they work together. It's physiology working with consciousness.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask one more question? I'm sorry. I am fascinated by what you're saying, John, and I, you know, listening to you talk, I was like, oh, I have something else I want to ask. But one more, I promise, and then I'll be quiet.
Okay.
you can ask anything. Matter of fact, you're listening to you, the feeds coming through a lot clearer than Maureen's. Yes. I don't know exactly why.
John, the reason why is because there was something wrong with my microphone on my headset. That's what happened tonight, unfortunately. Sorry. Go on, Jackie. I don't sound the same way.
Can you switch to hers when you're ready?
Maybe I'll just kind of go inside.
How about I channel Maureen?
That would. I know. I always sound good, John, but tonight, sorry. Go on, Jackie. You do sound good.
Okay. I'll one more, and I'll be quiet. Okay, I'm going to challenge you on this, and you're probably the expert, but I'm going to go for it anyway. This idea that we use 100% of our brain.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I lost my train of thought. If that was true, I'm sorry. I think I have to be quiet because I forgot what I was going to say. It was on the tip of my tongue, but I'm not sure if I'm really understanding that. I don't know if I believe that to be true, because just from things that I've heard and understood throughout the years.
Well, what I think they mean metaphorically is we only use a portion of our capacity in terms of our abilities, our creativity, that we're capable of. But at any given time, all of our brain is used. But as you reach higher and deeper conclusions about things, as you read more, as you use your brain to discover new ideas, then neural activity is increasing. More associations and connections are being made with the cells, and now you're using 100% of your expanded mind brain. So it's all about connections. It's all about the number of connections people make, because that's what happens with dementia, Alzheimer's, the connections between the cells, the communication links lessen and lessen and lessen. But when a person has Alzheimer's or dementia and the brain becomes diminished, they're still using 100% of their brain capacity at that time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I do remember my question. I promise this will be the last one. When you were talking about thoughts, my experience, and I believe this to be true, is that it's difficult for new thoughts to come in. And not that there isn't room for them, but we have the same thoughts over and over and over again. I actually blogged about we recycle our thoughts, you know, and until we're able to find a way, like you said, to kind of create this new neural pathways in our brain and just sort of break out of the box, though. How do you work with people, or what are your suggestions to creating new thoughts when I find that sometimes all we're doing is we're thinking about the same stuff over and over? Do you find that to be true, Dr. John?
Well, personally, I think half the people in the United States think the same things over and over and over again, because you could just see by the way people talk and things like that. But what you're talking about are people who want to expand, change, grow, learn new things. Well, that happens because they're open. They take notice of something. They take a class. They read a book. And something there captures their imagination. And as soon as something captures your interest, a new connection is made in the brain. And then as you pursue it and you research it and you learn more about it, new pathways are being created, new connections are being generated, and that's how it happens. It has to do with openness, attention, slowing down long enough to be able to let the new in. I think what happens with people is, like the scarecrow as a metaphor, they get stuck in a life pattern. They sit in front of a television, and with most of what comes across on the television, you're not going to really learn too much new there unless you're watching the Discovery Channel or something like that. And then there's classes. There's all kinds of classes and workshops that stimulate the mind and the imagination. A lot of people take those classes. A lot of people think, well, no, I'm too old to go to school again. Well, you're never too old. There's all kinds of adult education, great classes, great minds. Then there are people who are presenters. They're they're lecturers. They teach workshops and things, or they're on PBS or something. Dwayne Dyers and Louise Hayes and Deepak Chopra and all these people. They stimulate new thoughts, but you got to tune in. You got to pay attention. You got to say to yourself, "I'm going to learn something new." Then there's books out. There's books everywhere. But unless people really take the time to be open to it, pursue it, study it, research it, take it in, discuss it, it's not going to happen. The brain is going to remain the same. It's going to stay intact.
Makes sense. You know, it's also being self-aware. Self-awareness is really important about maybe, saying if you're open to it. And the change. So the Scarecrow is self-aware. He wants to get unstuck. He's been asking to be helped. Help unstuck me. And so Dorothy does that. So he's open to it because he wants. So Jackie, thank you. Those were great. I thought that was great, Jackie.
Sure, thank you.
Because normally I would sound just like Jackie.
Another book that I would recommend to you, if you want to pursue this a little more, is called The Biology of Belief by Bruce Lipton. The Biology of Belief. He's a brain researcher, and in there he's got a great story in there. This is about the power of suggestion. There's a story in there which appeared in the New England Journal of Medicine, and it was about, I think there were 40 people in the study. I'm not sure about that number, but I think it was close to that number. Now, these are people who all had some kind of a arthritic problem in their knee, and half of them actually had the surgery to scrape the kneecap and all that goes into a surgery, and the other half were told that they had the surgery, but all the doctors did is they cut open, they made a slit. They never did any surgery, but then they used the same procedure of the salt water and things towards the end and sealed it up. And they wanted to see how the placebo effect works. If you tell a person that you've had surgery, will they recover as well as a person who actually has surgery? So they took something that requires quite a bit of surgery, which is this knee procedure. What happened is that almost all of the people who never had the surgery but were told they did have the surgery were running and jumping and going on with their life. And then 2 years later, they were told, we never did perform the surgery. We were doing an experiment to see about the power of suggestion, placebo. And so I think most of the people says, well, I don't care. I'm feeling great, and I've never had a problem with my knee. Now, what does that say about the brain and the mind?
It says a lot. I wish I was in that placebo because I had knee surgery. And it was pain. That's so true. I mean, I'm a walking example of someone. If someone's telling you, you don't have a brain, you're stupid, or whatever, you start with, reflecting what the perception is, or suggested to you.
Yep. And how about if you took a person who actually had surgeries for like 20 surgeries over a period of maybe 30 or 40 years, and then through hypnosis, medical hypnosis, you worked with this person in a few sessions, and you told her that when she has her next surgery that she isn't going to have any of the complications that she had, that she did have before, that she was afraid she was going to have again. And I'm telling you this story because this is a story in my book, and it's a woman who came to me, was a nurse. Her name is Cheryl. And she said, "John, I'm 50-something years old. I've had this jaw problem since I was born, and ever since I was a little girl, I've had these intensive surgeries in my jaw for my teeth, and because there's a misalignment there, and every time I had the surgery, it was horrible. I missed school. I was in terrible pain. I had a lot of bleeding, and I it became I became so frightened of when I had to have the next surgery. But over the course of this woman's life, she had about 20 of these. So she said to me, I went to one of your classes, and I want to know if you think hypnosis would work for me, just like I'm telling you about the arthritic knee surgery, would work for me so I have a surgery where I don't have any bleeding, I have no swelling, and my recovery time is very fast, and I have minimal pain. I said, sure, you can do that, but you got to believe it. Your mind has to believe that that's possible. So what we did is I worked with her and she worked with me to help her let the past go, and that we were starting on a new track with her. And we used a process called age progression, which is end result imagery, which I talk about in my book too. And what you do is you put the person into a trance, and then you have them see the near future in this situation, her surgery, being performed perfectly, skilled hands of the physician, and then she sees herself right after the surgery, notices she has no swelling, bleeding is minimal, just enough to cleanse the area, minimal pain, just enough to let her know that the healing is occurring. So she comes to my office 2 days after the surgery, and she says it was a miracle. So she wanted to be certified then in the work that I do. And now she works with women who have surgeries to help them. So here's the power of the mind that affects the chemicals in the brain to alter your brain chemistry through mind power, creating a result that's totally different than the results you've had before.
Yes. It's out there. Why don't we just all do this? well, that's what people are like. because it is. I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. And I do know from my own personal experience that we create some really, I've created some very difficult times for myself from not using my brain properly, for my mind to connect with. So the negativity has come out. And it works both ways, and with the positive suggestions. Well, I'm being real honest about it. I could say, well, I'm always positive, but I'm not. And so I have suffered because of it. And I've been self-aware of it, too, which is pretty much of a bummer. But I think that's fantastic. And absolutely, I think that when you're talking about the progression of looking forward and the you called it eight. The
age progression, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I'm familiar with that.
What happened to Maureen? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that is something I've talked to some other individuals about that do this work, and that's the key. It's really great, just like a clean slate, almost like, and begin from there. What were you going to say, John?
So what happens is we when we fall back into old patterns, old thinking, old ways of doing things. In the hypnosis field, we call it age regression. You're regressing back to times that weren't beneficial, but you keep on repeating it over and over again in present time and future time, because the idea is what you draw on from your past will then replicate in the future and in present time. But if you draw upon memories of positive times, successful times, times you did things well, times you were happy, times you were successful, then you will tend to do that in present time and future time. So we're always working in present time, past time, future time, whether you want to accept it or not. That's why I took exception with the book called the one about the power of now, because it made no sense to me. I thought it was a very nice book, not particularly practical, because we're always operating in three time zones, past, present, and future, whether we want to believe it or not. But the key isn't always to be in the present time, because if you're always in present time, you won't create anything in the future. And everything we see in the world, everything we see of beauty, paintings, drawings, furniture, computers, cars, buildings, architecture, clothing. It's all about an image that a person has in their mind and imagination of what it's going to look like in future time. And so they're working on that in future time. You're working on it in present time, of course, but you got to have an image in your mind where you're going with this painting, where you're going with this novel, where you're going with this book.
I agree with that. In fact, I love the power of now too, and I have the new. I mean, I'm willing to, you know, who we're talking about his work, but I was having a hard time with sometimes being in the now because you're right, because I needed to stop the old tapes or you know, look at like what you're saying, the old patterns getting stuck, and think about the power of now. Is I was saying, okay, now what? Now what? I mean, that's no pun intended, but I guess, excuse me, but yeah,
like you want to be totally in present time when you meditate. That's a perfect time to be totally present is in meditation.
Yes.
But there are lots of times I like being in the past when I'm reveling in wonderful memories.
Right.
And I love playing with future possibilities, so I like being in all three time zones. Now, in my book, Returning to the Land of Oz, I didn't talk about age regression, age progression. I didn't want to confuse people. So all I meant, I just call it traveling in time in your mind and in your imagination. So we travel in time.
Imagination is very interesting to me because I've been getting back into my research. Thank goodness, it's lovely because I've been doing my work for over 20 years, and I kind of got lost and not really researching much until I started back on doing this radio here, and imagination seems to be coming up a lot lately in some things I've been looking at and reading about, and I'm going, imagination, that's interesting, and I think imagery is imagination and. Visualization is, that's affirmation is imagination. I guess everything kind of comes back into imagination, doesn't it, John? In a lot of ways, the book.
Yeah, the imagination. I see it as really the foundation of who we are. I think imagination is primary. That's our primary operating quality. Our primary operating power is imagination. We never want to lose that. And I have to be honest, Returning to the Land of Oz is really a book about imagination from beginning to end, and I talk about imagination with so many different stories that I bring in about people who've had an awesome imagination, like Walt Disney is a great example. Here's a guy who couldn't turn his imagination off, but he also had this practical side of him that took the imagination, and he created something from it. So imagination has an aspect of it that where you draw upon the imagery and the ideas from your unconscious mind, but then it has another aspect to it where you take these ideas and you create something from it. You make something. Mm-hmm. Like when he was a little boy, in the early 1900s, in elementary school, his teacher put a vase on the desk and said, "Okay, class, draw the vase." Well, Walt Disney was the only one in the class who drew a face on top, arms and legs on the vase. So the teacher scolded him and says, "Why are you doing that? That's not there. Just draw what you see." And he says, "Well, that's what I see." And so they, I don't know if they took his pen away or something, but no matter what they did, he refused to just draw the vase. And having arms and legs and faces on inanimate objects became his calling card. He did it with everything.
No. Well, you know, the thing is, well, even with the Wizard of Oz, what I really wanted to know is about the imagination of the flower, you know, the flowers. Now, was that in the book, the flowers? The flowers, that she ran across and they all, you know, sleep. Do you know which part I'm talking about? You know, what were they called? I don't know.
Oh, you mean the poppies?
Poppies. Yes, the poppies.
The poppy field.
Yeah, the poppy fields.
Yeah, now in the film, the poppy field is a trap that the witch creates to capture Dorothy and them, to stop them in their journey. In the book, the poppy field is just one obstacle that they encounter. But in a way, it's not really an obstacle, because Dorothy and her little dog and the lion are very tired.
Yes.
The Tin Woodman and the Scarecrow are not affected by the poppy field.
Right.
It's just the lion, Dorothy, and Toto. So they fall asleep, and they need the sleep. But what Baum writes in the book is that they're sleeping an awful long time, and so they're dragged out of there by the other two, and then continue on their journey. But it's only one of many obstacles and challenges that they have as a group.
But then again, like you said, we all need to replenish ourselves for us to work in a capacity. If we're open and we want to, like we were talking about earlier. And also, when you say the other two that were affected by that, again, that brings a sense of that community feeling that we all need to have. If one person's done, pull them up. Pull them up and move on, or go on, or you can do it, go further. And you know, what I would want, because we're getting closer to the end of this, and I really want to bring up your workshops before we go, but I want to know, what is it the wizard is, the archetype of the wizard, is he, what would he be?
Well, the Wizard of Oz is a very, basically, he's just a nice old man who really has no power at all. He was in a hot air balloon. It lost its ability to stay up in the air. It landed in this land of Oz. And as it came down through the clouds, the people of Oz thought he was some kind of a god because of the way he just landed there. So he noticed that they were afraid of him. And so he used their fear against them, and he became their master. But he always was afraid of the witches. What he did is he was a ventriloquist. He was kind of he had a circus act, and so he created this mystique about him where he was just this head that was bobbing in that big room, and he spoke in this deep voice to scare people. But he always scared them to keep them at bay, because he lived in constant fear that his secret was going to be found out. So in both the book and the film, of course, it's uncovered. There's one main difference, though. In the film, he tells Dorothy and the other three to get the witch's broom, whereas in the book, he tells them he wants the witch dead. He wants her killed. Mm. That's the person he fears the most, is the Wicked Witch.
Right, because she can expose
him.
Kind
of he's like a person in life who uses his position to keep people enslaved.
Right. But it's because of his own inadequate feelings, or his own adequacy, that he's doing
like
so.
He's a basic politician.
Yeah. You know, John, I'm getting close to, I'd like to talk to you. I could talk to you forever about a lot of other things. But I would like to, before we leave, I would like you to talk about your workshops that you offer. We'll have your site up, a link to that. But what is involved with the workshops? Are they like a week, day, or what?
Well, about the workshops, a couple of things. First of all, about the book, it's called Returning to the Land of Oz, and you can get it at Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. You get it primarily on the Internet. because bookstores in America are slowly closing, as you can see, and people buy most of their books on the internet now. So again, returning to the Land of Oz, Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. But if you go to my website, which is Land of Oz Workshops, with an S, plural, dot blogspot, blogspot.com, there is a button there you click on, and it tells you about upcoming workshops. The workshops are all day long, and they're based upon the book, and they're based upon the film. And what I've done is I've extracted 9 amazing principles from the Yellow Brick Road, which then form the outline of the all-day workshop.
Oh,
it's a very interactive workshop.
Yeah, and so that sounds great. And so you're located, in fact, maybe I'll get up there and do one. I think I could use it, something like that, for my situation with my brain and my mind. And I
hope I answered the questions of your friend who was on the line here a few minutes ago.
Jackie, did he answer your questions?
Yes, he did. Thank you.
See, now, that's how I would sound, John, if my microphone was working properly. So, thanks, Jackie. And, John, really, I thank you very much. And I do apologize for my technical situation that I had unexpectedly happen on my end. But I really appreciate you joining us, and I just find you fascinating in your work. And I'm going to look further into it as well and tell everybody else about it. My family, friends, and everything else. And we also will have the link for anybody that would like to buy your book. There's a link on your guest page so they can click on it to Amazon. And also your website address is on there as well. So thank you so much, John, for joining us. And it's been lovely.
Lovely. Thank you for inviting me.
And yeah, so have a good... Well, we're on the same time. So have a good night.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Thank you. He's wonderful. I wish my microphone was sounding like Jackie.
Well, if he would have linked in, I could have.
I don't know. Maybe it could have been a trim. You could have said you're me. Well, but the thing is, you know, so anybody, also, you can contact John from our guest page. He's on there at psychicaccesstalkradio.com. And, his website's also available, and I suggest you read the book, as I'm going to myself, but I have a feeling that I'm really going to enjoy it, because it is interesting, our imagination fairy tale. So, and I think I would like to say thank you, Jackie, for interacting, and I think you have some really good things. Yeah, you know, my daughter's studying she's a neuroscience major at UCSD. She studies the brain. And she gets a kick out of mine, but
if I only had a brain.
Yeah. Well, my brain goes so fast, and all my thoughts, and they're just, you know how I get. And so, anyway, I'd like to make a few announcements. Take a moment. So, I'd like, and I'll begin like this. I wish my microphone was working properly, everybody. Sorry, but be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to how-tos in psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts, as we have all talked about earlier in the show, of us. And each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them and to choose from a list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And it's also a great pleasure, and I'm so honored working with Doug, as I have for almost, I don't know, 8 years, a long time, in psychic access, because of the high expectations required of each psychic. So thank you, Doug, for being who you are for that. So all the co-hosts here on psychicaccess.com work there. And so if you'd like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, visit http://, psychicaccess.com/webmasters. Okay, and If you like our show, which we know you all do, please invite your friends to join us in the chat room. It's a lot of fun with like-minded people and to listen to the Psychic View. There's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. So, do we need a commercial time? Maybe. But at any rate, I would like to also say the call-in number, if everybody is ready for this, here it comes. For readings at the end of the show, which is coming up soon, is 724-444-4851. Okay, so we're going to take a brief commercial from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Okay, and we're back, and welcome. And one more time, the call-in number is 724-444-4851. And this comes to our fun time of bantering, girls and guys. And I would like to ask Sharon. Hi, Sharon, are you there?
Hi, yeah, I'm here. Am I quiet? Sorry.
There you are. There's Sharon. Hi.
Yay.
But the call in, I would like to say one more thing. Please do not call in until 9:15 Eastern Standard, daylight time, please, as we will be not, we're not, you can't get through until 9:15 and such. But, and that, there you have it. Okay, so, Sharon,
yes.
what is some advice you give to clients about patterning? Like, he was talking about that, too, patterning in their lives.
First of all, I want to say great show. I really like the guest. He was great. Well, sometimes I say to them, they're always like, okay, I have to get out of the situation. I'm going to go jump into another situation. And I always say, you know what? Stay where you're safe. Stay where you know what to do next. And just sort of like treat it like a crossword puzzle or something, like a puzzle, and find out why it is that this pattern is being repeated. I mean, I'm not talking about if they're in an unsafe situation, obviously, right? But, some people just, they go from one relationship and they go into the same relationship but a different face, you know? So mm-hmm. I always say, just stand there and you know, you're exactly where you're meant to be. So just figure it all out from standing at this point, you know? So that's the advice I kind of give them.
And it's good advice.
Yeah, with the exception of if you're being abused or something. I mean, that's run as fast as you can, right?
So. Yeah, and don't look back. I know.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, and that is something that's interesting to me because of I laid all out about what my situations have been in the past, but the pattern of that even is something of interest. We should do a show on that, I think, sometime soon. But that's great advice, and you know what I hear too when I do readings, it's the same, you know, and I want to be kind about it, but it's really, and as John was talking about, you need to be self-aware and be open to what you need to be open to, even if it feels like you're going to risk losing somebody that maybe not all that good for you to be involved in, or if you're talking about relationship, any type of, in your family too, anything like that.
Yeah.
It's very good advice.
And sometimes the person they're with, it's sort of like they're being created by the other person. So like once they start to change, the other can change by osmosis, and they might just have a good relationship again. You know, so you never know what's going to happen.
That's absolutely true. And you know, I tell people, if you change, not that you're going to change the hope for the person to then change, you do it for yourself. The great benefit is, a lot of times it's an added feature, the other person will have to change.
Yeah, not you can't dance alone.
If they're open to it and they want to, because they'll have to, For every action is a reaction, mm-hmm. right? So it's an added feature.
Yeah.
That should happen. Thanks, Sharon. And thanks. Jackie, hi. How can we learn to put ourselves first without being selfish?
I have no idea.
Okay, no. Then I'll talk.
That's a good one. Yeah, right. I think the first thing is to let go of this idea that being selfish, there's anything wrong with it. Sure, there's self-fulfilling indulgences and tendencies that it's like, you know, that hurt other people. But when you're selfish or, you know, thinking of putting yourself first, mm-hmm. but with the intention of, you know, not to hurt anybody, there's nothing wrong with that. And you know what? I always say this to my clients and such. I said, you know, most of the people I deal with, they're always like, I'm giving so much and I'm exhausted. And it's like, because you forget to give to yourself, you know, the saying about paying yourself first. Right. And that's the thing. We don't know how to give to ourselves first. We think, oh, we'll get something in return. We'll give to others. Well, sure, that may be the case. But when you're giving from a place of an agenda, you know, a hidden agenda of like, well, what's in it for me? There are strings attached, but if you're giving where you're already filled up and you're already fulfilled, then you give, it's more freeing, the energy's different. There's no attachment to, hey, if I get something great, if I don't, I don't. And then what you find is energetically there's room now for things to come. It's like manifesting. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of the key to that where, you know, you got to let go of the outcome and how things turn out. But really giving to yourself first, you know, taking care of yourself and having those conversations with yourself. I mean, those are really important. And we got to start with that because the inner work always reflects the outer work. So we go within. We got to start within.
Well, so to learn that, I think what I may be understanding is we have to give ourselves permission.
Yes. Right. Let go of. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And that's the thing. We don't need to worry about what other people think. Oh, you're being selfish. Well, so I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly.
So what? And that's the thing.
Right.
We're so worried about society. It's like, it doesn't matter. And I think it's a big problem. I really believe it's a big problem.
I think you're absolutely right about that. In fact, I know that for me, I'm such a dysfunctional. I'm really laying it all out for me tonight. No, I'm not. I'm very functional. I got to start putting out the positive stuff. But I know for me, I've always, and I don't have, and you're speaking about hidden agendas. Now, if there's a hidden agenda, that does not apply here because it doesn't. And there's a lot of people that they're saying that they're so giving and lovely, but there's always I know this, I've experienced this, there's a hidden agenda behind it. And it can be very disturbing. And we've all come across that. I think I can honestly say for all of us, I'm speaking for us all, but Jackie, you know what I'm saying, I think.
Yes.
So I think that it's, for me, it's like I need to take care of myself because I have a daughter or I'm a mother and I need to be okay to be able to do that and help, or my parents or whatever else have you. And it's not because I have to be mad about it. I go, I need to take care of myself because I have to do all these things. Sorry. It's not, it's not about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and if we're giving in to people's requests, and you know what, like I was saying, give yourself permission. And another thing I want to say is really get comfortable saying no to people. Get used to it. Practice it a couple times a day. Certainly, you know, hey, you know, can you take me to the hospital? I'm dying. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You use the common sense. Use the common sense with saying no. If you find that you're always giving in to people or being a people pleaser, find the strength to start to say no. And you can say it in a way, say, oh, thank you, but no.
You know,
I appreciate that, but no. You know what I'm saying? So there's a very compassionate way to turn people down.
So. Well, you know.
No,
it's interesting you bring that up too, because again, that is a very interesting thing, because for some people, it's easy for them to say no, because they're functional. No, because they're very aware. They know their boundaries and everything else. But I'll tell you something. I for many years I was working with a therapist, and she said, you need to learn to use the word no. And she said, I want to hear, how many times a day do you say, I'm sorry? And I said, I counted once, it's awful how many times I say I'm sorry about everything in the world I'm responsible for. I'm sorry. I mean, it's so awful. She said, now how, I want you to just try to say no to things. And you know, it was so hard when I said no to something that I was always saying yes to and I didn't like it. It was for something to do with something, you know, whatever. But that one day she told me to try to focus on this, and the word barely, it was so hard for me to say that simple words. And it was very emotionally devastating for me. And you know what? I did say no, and you know, the wrath came at me. It was a wrath because I said no to something that I should have been saying no to before. But
They shoot it on you, right?
it was something else. I was no good because I wasn't going to care for somebody's child while she drank like there's no tomorrow. You know, get her to school and do all the things. I said no. But, you know, I remember, I was like, I tried to say, I could barely say it. So it's pretty intense for some people, but it is important because that's part of being taken care of, being selfish.
Yeah. It's saying no to them, but it's saying yes to yourself.
Exactly, because, you know, I was overwhelmed and I was doing too much. Right. Can't do everything for everybody. Mm-hmm. And so everybody listen up to that because it's important. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome.
Steve, there you are. Steve, hi, Steve.
Hi, Maureen.
There you are. And so, Steve, in your opinion, what are the keys to fulfilling potential like that?
Well, I did quite a lot of work on this last year, asking my guides to help me channel a program that would allow people to reach their potential. And the first key is personality. And you guys set that up really well by, not deliberately, obviously, but your discussion about wanting to please other people, always to help, not wanting to say no. Those are characteristics of the personality type that wants to people, wants to please people and for everything to be okay, to the, you know, the personality type that wants to create peace and harmony. So my guides have always told me that the first key to being fulfilled in life is to really determine our personality types and understand our, the makeup of our personality types. Because if we don't do that, if we live life without an understanding of our personality type, then we're on a boat without a rudder, paddle. Basically. Yeah, without a paddle. Boat without a paddle, or ship without a rudder. And the second is understood our personality type, which is set by the time we're about 5. We can change many things in life, but we can't change our personality types. So we have to understand that. But once we've understood our personality type, we work the challenges of our work personality type, then it's really to understand what our talents are. You know, I was writing a brief blog this afternoon, and there was a quote about children. If you want to give advice to your children, it's to tell them to do what they want to do. It's to tell them to do what they love. And it's really important that we understand our talents and that we play to our strengths, because when we do that, we're happy, we achieve easily, we're successful, we're well recognized and rewarded for what we do best. And then the third key, according to my guides, is being very, very clear about our purpose in life. So you can understand your personality type, you can play to your strengths, you can work extremely hard for a whole lifetime, but if you haven't stopped to consider what your purpose is, then you can miss the target. So those are the three things, in my opinion, and that's based upon what my guides tell me. Understand personality, understand your talents and play to your strengths, and be very clear about your purpose in life.
You know, I really appreciate you bringing this up because, again, well, I guess I'm the anchor. I can say anything I want about myself. And here it goes. When you're talking about that, I was thinking, I was always a typical caregiver. I'm not talking about because, you know, it was always like that when I was younger. I wanted everybody to like, you know, you've heard it before. People always want to be liked because I probably had a lot of personality issues with not being good enough or people didn't understand me. I was different. I think, Jackie, we're going to be talking about that coming from your family. And so what happened is that you don't understand, well, what is my personality is no good or is it crazy or is it whatever. And what happened was I just wanted to, I have a good sense of humor, but I knew that I could make people laugh. But then I got lost because I didn't have that sense of, you know, I was talking to John about the sense of community and connection with people that really care, which, and they don't judge you, and they don't, you know, I would run around in circles. I would run around and try to prove myself. Look at me. I'm okay. I'm not, there's nothing wrong with me. I'm more different, or I'm funny, or I'm quirky, or I'm intuitive, or I'm a little psychic, whatever it was. And usually it's by the time, you're talking about five, I think it's about by the time we're ten, it's when we really are conditioned into everything and is all is lost, but not as all is lost. But, you know, I think that it would have served me right because it brought on a lot of physical problems when I was 13. I had an ulcer. How many 13-year-olds get an ulcer? Because I had a personality, I think it was okay. But other people that were around me during that time as a child, well, they had a hard time with me because of whatever reasons. I guess their intentions were good, but they didn't stop for a moment and see how wonderful maybe I might have been. So I immediately, my personality type got all mixed up. I didn't know what the heck I was.
And it's interesting the way that, you know, I often get invited to go into schools and universities to talk about this. And I do that because I'm asked to do it, but also because I wish that when I was in my teens, somebody had taught me about the importance of understanding these keys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Work it out. It took me time to work it out, and now I have. I'm very...
You're balanced. Yeah, you see, I think it's fulfilled, and that's a good, and that's a fulfilling, and that's a great thing. I didn't know that. Well, would you come down to my town and do it at the beach? I'll call the university.
I would love to. I love San Diego.
University of Beach, and come and give me some help. That would be lovely. thanks, Steve. And Sharon, when doing past life readings on clients, you notice something. What is it?
Well, the one thing I noticed is that, like, I like doing past life readings because they're like these little scenes all come about. But I noticed that there's patterns even in the past lives. Like, so, if someone likes animals in this life, they'll like animals in last life. And same as, like, if relationship problems, they'll carry back into the other life. So it's almost like we come back and we just to get it, you know? So I always find that really intriguing. It's like a theme.
Yeah, it's like a theme, yes, and that's very, very, I like a theme part. and Sharon, thank you. So that's interesting that you bring it up, and you're able to say it in such a
short time.
Yes. You know, nothing short, I go on. Well, you know, I know that we had other things we wanted to talk about, but we're going to go into, but Jackie and Steve, and your things are noted. We'll talk about that on another show I do. I'll add this back in and share it too. So at this time, we've come to the part of our show where we'll be taking calls, your calls and questions. And you can either call in or ask questions in the chat room. However, we do have to take call-ins first, of course, for very, you know, obvious reasons, due to the wait time. And the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. Once again, that number is, I sound like an info commercial, is 724-444-4851. And please be aware that each call will automatically be placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So please relax and listen to the show, as you would be able to, while you wait. And really, we really would appreciate it if you'd be very specific and direct with your question, as this will really help us allow us to be better able to connect with your situation and give you some really good sound advice in the short period of time that we have to do so. And so there you have it. So I right now, we have, let me see. The call is from, we must have a call already. Okay. Do we have a call right now? Ohio. Thank you. Hi, Ohio. That was kind of a hard thing to say. Hi, Ohio. Hello, Ohio. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fine. And what's your name, please?
My name is Amber.
Amber. Hi, Amber. And Steve will be reading for you, Amber. And Steve, here's Amber.
Hi, Amber. How can I help?
Hi, Steve. I actually was just in on the chat here, and they told me to go ahead and call in. I'm actually wondering about the guy that I kind of, not really quite sure what we have anymore. He moved a year and a half ago, and we've kept in contact, and we had a relationship when he was here for about a year, and then he moved, and we stayed in contact. However, things have been, you know, just kind of, I've been asking a lot to, like, come out and see him. He just says he doesn't have the time to take off of work. Not sure if he's telling me the truth or if he's just really doesn't want me out there, or I don't know. I just kind of want to know what's going on with him or with us, I guess, more.
Well, Amber, the first thing that comes up for me is I'm drawn to the month of April. And like, and with this situation, so it's either with one of you or both of you, the month of April is significant. I don't mean April of this year. I'm going to April in the past.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you or understand you.
Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yep, right now I can now.
The first thing that comes up when you ask about this friend is the month of April.
Yeah.
I need to keep going back to the month of... Okay, does that make sense to you?
I don't know if I just have a bad connection or what. I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
Okay, can you guys... Maureen, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. It's breaking up a little bit, but I can hear you okay. And I think it's just breaking up. Amber, I think, is that what you're hearing? It's breaking up a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. I'm asking you if you can. Well, go on, Steve. Go on.
Yeah, Amber, my guides are referring me to the month of April, okay? They refer back to the month of April. And they say that April is significant to one of you or both of you.
I don't really know why.
Well, if you look back to April of last year, something changed in April of last year. Because
last April is when we stopped talking for about 4 months.
Okay, because my guides refer you back to April, and they're saying that something changed in April. So if you're saying that you stopped talking at that time, that's what they're referring to.
Okay.
They're saying to me, Amber, that from that time, the relationship was not right. So they're saying, encouraging you to just think back time and recognize that it didn't start to go wrong or feel wrong when he moved away. It was actually before that time, in the month of April. And they're just saying to you, when you think about this relationship, this friendship, think of it from April last year onwards. And just recognize that it hasn't been right for quite some time. Now, it's all when people ask about relationships. When there's when our heart's involved and we feel a connection with someone, we ask the question. We want the answer to be that everything's going to work out just fine. And so we always say to people, you know, there were two people involved, and you both can choose. But my guides are really encouraging you to just think and think about how it's been, how it's felt, and how he's behaved towards you from age year onwards. And I feel for you, Amber, because my guides are saying that this has been really difficult for you. You've been, he's got me
broke up
her hair, right?
Steve, you broke up on that one. It's hard to hear, understand that part. Can you say that again?
Okay. Yeah, I'm just saying that the guy in question has medium brown to darker hair. My guides are showing me medium brown to darker hair.
Amber, did you hear that okay?
No, I'm not getting any of it.
Okay, what he was saying is his guides, he's talking about, you're asking about your man. He has medium dark brown hair, I think is what Steve said. Is that, so he knows he's on the right track. Medium dark brown hair, is that?
Brown hair, is that what you're asking?
Yes, he's asking, he says he sees him as, so he's trying to make sure, the man you're talking about, you inquired about, medium dark brown hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Steve, you got that? Okay. Got it. Yes.
Steve, yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So thank you. So Amber, like I say, in a nutshell, think back from April onwards and just recognize that it hasn't been right since then. If you can move forward yourself, if you can be strong and be clear about what you want in the future, then you can be very happy and very successful.
Success
is at your doorstep. Yeah, the whole world's at your doorstep. There are great opportunities for you, money-wise and relationship-wise, but my guides just say, just think about the track record here and decide whether that's what you want or whether you need to move on, okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Amber.
Right, lots of love. Take care.
Okay, for Jackie, hello, New York. Hello, New York. I love New York. Jackie is pretty close to me. Hi. Oh, there you are. Hi, New York. And what's your name?
Margaret.
Margaret. Hi, Margaret. And Jackie's going to be reading for you this evening.
Okay.
There you go, Jackie.
Thank you, Maureen. Hi, Margaret. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can I help you tonight?
There's this guy named Daniel that I just added on Facebook, and I'm wondering when we're going to chat.
Okay, you just became friends with him on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm hearing right away, and not to wait. I do feel it's going to be something that's going to start off getting to know each other as a friendship. They're making it really clear to me to keep it there for a little while, and just get to know the person.
Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering why.
There's a hesitation. Why? Go ahead.
I'm just wondering when he'll actually chat with me, because I haven't seen him on yet this week.
Okay, but I believe the message that I'm hearing for them is for you to take that initiative. There's a tendency for you to kind of be, for lack of a better word, kind of a wallflower, and that's more of a traditional thing, something that you learned, you know, like as a woman, it's expected of the man to, you know, kind of take the lead and, you know, make the decisions and, you know, sort of the 50s, you know, where they're their way and the women are sort of the, you know, the wife, where they just, you know, metaphorically I'm speaking. But that's old stuff, though. And Margaret, what I'm really feeling strongly is that your sense of person and identity is about moving forward and stepping out of this old way of being where it's expected that he's supposed to, you know, kind of make the decision to reach out to you and make that first move. They're clearly saying to me that this is it's kind of a scary thing for you, but it's also a very good thing because what happens is you're going to be showing this fella that you're not afraid on some level, that you are willing to step out and you know, be spontaneous, you know, be different than any of the other girls. That I'm really, really feeling strongly about that. Does that make sense to you, Margaret? Because I, when I think about you, when I feel into your energy, there's a lot of reservations. And it may be a little not you, but I think that's why they're bringing this up.
Okay.
Is that something you feel comfortable doing, Margaret?
Yeah, I'm just waiting for him to go online because I haven't seen him at all.
Okay, but what about sending an email? You don't need to, it doesn't have to be live chat. You could send an email through Facebook.
Yeah. I've actually tried.
Okay, I hear a little thing in your voice.
I've actually tried to email him before and he hasn't responded, but he finally like added me to Facebook, so.
Okay.
I don't want to. Yeah, I don't know what to do.
Well, you know, and that's the perfect way to open the door now. And that's what I'm saying is that it doesn't need to be, because you're not going to come across as somebody who's, you know, overkill with the communication. I feel that you tend to step back because you're like, I don't want to be too pushy. I don't want to maybe, you know, turn this guy off or have him think, you know, hey, there's this, you know, crazy woman who's chasing me. You're not going to come across that way. I'm telling you right now. And it's okay if you just, you know, send another email, you know, but very playful, very fun-like, because you have this energy that's, you know, sort of childlike fun where, you know, you're really, it's fun to be around because you bring out that inner playfulness in everybody. So bring that sort of energy into the email if you desire, you know, of course. But I don't feel that it's something that you really need to wait around for him. You know, you can kind of plant the seed and just say, hey, it's me again, you know, ha-ha. You know, there's a lot of different ways to put in those sort of things in an email, you know, like the LOL and the smiley face. So he'll get it, you know, he'll definitely get it. But on so many levels, that will be really good for you because of breaking out of your shell and then letting him see that, you know, hey, you're a woman who's, you know, a take charge person and you're okay to make decisions and, you know, you're confident with yourself. That's there. A very attractive characteristic of a woman, if you ask me. And I think this guy will see that and he will like that. I feel like he's looking for that.
Good. That was a good reading, Jackie. Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
Are we done?
Or no? I didn't know Margaret.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Margaret, did you have any questions? Does that make any sense to you?
I think she... excuse me. I'm all choked up.
She had to go send that email.
She had to go get a glass of water because I got all choked up. That's going to be my intuitiveness. But it was not... It has nothing to do with... And we might have lost her, but I'd let you know. Because I wasn't trying to shut you out, Jackie.
I know. I said I would be quiet. I didn't know.
I know. I would never do that to you. That, of course, not. thanks, Jackie. But we have a caller from Georgia. Hi, Georgia. From Georgia. Not even. Hi. Hi, Georgia. Can I have your name, please?
Patrice. My name is Patty.
Patty, is Patty okay? Hi, Patty, and Sharon will be reading for you. Go ahead, there you are, Sharon. This is Patty.
Hi, Patty. How are you tonight?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes. So I am going through a divorce, and I met someone in January, and kind of, I mean, we had like a really intense, like, spiritual connection, and it's kind of going slow. So I was trying to find out, like, where the relationship was going, or if it was going somewhere, or if I will meet, like, the one I'm supposed to be with.
Okay. The first thing that I'm getting is that it was get, like, doing the whole divorce thing for you, it was hard work, you know, it was a big decision and it affected a lot of people, but I'm almost feeling like the man that came in, he's your reward. That happens sometimes, you know, like it's like we've been in a long relationship and we just kind of, someone comes in and they just make us feel alive again. And that's what I'm feeling this man is for you. Now it's going to go slowly and it's probably a good thing too for your sake and for the divorce's sake. And I'm feeling he makes you feel good inside and not vulnerable and you don't have to act a certain way and he just feels really good for you. Are you feeling like that? Are you feeling happy?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, and he's making you alive again. I'm just feeling like the man you were with before, he was like very draining for you and it just didn't work. You know, sometimes after divorce we have, you know, someone comes in and they're just really good for us. And whether it lasts forever, it lasts, you know, for a bit, it doesn't matter because it's exactly where you're meant to be. So, you know, but it does feel good. It feels like you're going to find out about a lot about yourself with this man. Does that help you?
Yes. I mean, like, I haven't really heard from him. It's been, like, a couple weeks, so... Like, I just don't really know where to go from here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, just leave it and see where it goes. But even as a result of him coming in, I'm feeling that you're different. You know, you feel good about yourself. And he helped transform you into the person you are today. So, but I am feeling, when I go to July, sort of the first week of July, I'm seeing you on a beach and I'm seeing you holding hands with someone and you're very, very happy. So whether it be this man or someone else, I'm feeling July is your month to find the person of your dreams kind of thing, you know? And I'm feeling from someone from Spirit is sending someone over. So whether it be this man or somebody new, but Spirit's working for you on the other side. So do you have a lot of people over in Spirit?
I guess so. I mean, my dad, he passed away 10 years ago.
So. Yeah, yeah, because I'm just feeling someone in Spirit saying, okay, they can't wait. They can't wait for it all to happen. So it feels really good. So so keep July, and don't fret too much about, you know, if this one doesn't call. Just know that someone's coming that will be a nice, healthy relationship for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye, Patty.
Bye, Patty. I'd like to give our number out again because we have some lines open and everybody should want to jump on it. And that number is 24, excuse me, I'll start again. That number is 724-444-4851. And I would take advantage of it now because what will happen is, as it does, sometimes I announce it and then boom, we get hit with all these people. So, we want to be able to get to all the callers this evening. So, excuse me. I'm all choked up from being so happy with you guys. Anyway, at any rate, until the callers come in, I think that it might be a good opportunity because I think that I really wanted to get to some other things that we wanted to discuss. So, until I hear otherwise, I'm going to ask, we left off with, tell us about, wait a minute, tell us tell us about, okay, I guess we have a call. I'm sorry, I'm really talking not so sexy, but okay. caller, South Dakota. Hello, South Dakota.
Hello.
Hi, my name's Maureen, and how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm doing okay, thank you, except I don't sound, I sound better when my mic is looking better, but other than that, I'm doing great. So, I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Michelle.
I'm sorry, Michelle. And Michelle, I'm reading for you. I'm taking you. And I'm happy to do so. So I'm ready.
Well, I was wondering if I had any messages from any past relatives that they might want to be sending to me or some messages that I missed.
Okay, and the reason you're asking is because I get a feeling because you've had messages before. but not...
I think I have.
You know, you should trust your intuition, Michelle, because, you know, right now, you know, you were talking about this. I don't know, have you been listening to our show this evening? Did you listen
not
to
it? Not this evening, you know, I didn't get a chance.
Okay, well, we were talking about something to do with being caretakers and doing this and all that, and how important it is to take time for yourself to be, I guess, for lack of a better word, selfish, but in a good way. And I think that you now are going to be able to open yourself up to getting more messages or messages that you'll be more aware of and more like, okay, that is a message. Because I see that you just have, just like right presently, have decided just to release yourself from all the stuff that you carry on your back that doesn't belong there, that belong to other people. We were talking about earlier, like it's hard to say no. Are you one of those people that, you know, I'll do that, or I'll take care of that? Are you one of the people that, you're no longer, you've decided you're letting go of that, and it's very difficult to do that, but you have to for yourself, for you to be open to take, things have not been fair because you've been doing so much. You've almost like sacrificed part of your own self. Okay. For the others. And I'm not saying we should all do that. You know, we help others and stuff, but you were doing it to an extent like that. So you have, there's been a blockage of psychic communication that you're getting clearly, but I think that there is, excuse me, are you following me, Michelle, a little bit on what I'm talking about?
You're breaking up a little bit.
I am. I'm sorry.
I'm having a hard time hearing you.
You know, normally I'm not, but the microphone. Is there, I guess what I'm saying is, you, I feel now, are going to be able to be more self-aware by getting everything off your back that doesn't belong there. And it could be coming from, like, you'll like in work or anything or for anybody, you'll say, yes, I'll take care of that. So you get so busy. And if you're getting any messages, which I think are trying to get through, they get blocked. Because you're...
I understand. I follow you.
Do you follow me now on what I'm saying?
Yeah, I follow you.
Okay, so what I'm seeing is really good. It's because now you've released yourself from all the other people's stuff that belongs to them. So I think that, you know, it's interesting in a lot of ways. I think there's been a lot of messages that have been, it's kind of unfair. There's been some injustice to it because I think there's been more than you even know that have been really trying to get through to you because of the fact of you living in your physical world very different, you know, there on the other side, you're here. I feel that there's a interesting sense of your family, the family reunion. Is there a family reunion of some sort coming up, and just people missing that you can recall when you were younger that you wish you could, you know, how we some things happen, things to change that they're no longer there with us to share. And I see as a little girl, were you really close to a grandfather figure?
Yes, I was.
And is he gone to the back home to the big guy in the sky? The side of the garret. Is he passed? Yes.
Yes, he passed.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, because I see with him and when you're younger, so lovely. I mean, such a, I don't know, the feeling I'm getting. He really. You two are very connected, and so if this is the case, this is who I'm picking up on. Him. And so, would he be one that you would want to have a message from? Because I do feel definitely he's a real he's the one I'm picking up on the most, a real prominent one. I'm not saying there's nobody else, but him really more so. That have you thought about? You said you're not sure if you're getting it right or not. If you imagine whatever, has it been him that you were thinking about that this might be the case?
Not him in particular. He was one of two I was wanting to hear from.
Well, I do definitely feel he has energy pretty much. He's a wonderful man. He was a wonderful man. I mean, he was at a time when some people, I don't know, you always felt so safe and you loved listening to him. And it wasn't because it was his energy, it's what he was. He was so authentic and he was always present with you. And he always treated you just like you should be treated, not just like a silly little girl, or silly, you know, I just see adoring and listening to him. It's almost like, in a way, it's very special. And I do feel that when you need something in your adult life and things are going on, he's a good one. He's very objective and advising, and I do feel that he's trying to get through. And I feel definitely that you this is what I suggest you do, maybe. It might be a good idea for the time being until the next couple months. I think you're going to be getting more messages than ever, but you're going to be more secure about your intuition, knowing that they are. And no matter what anybody else says, it doesn't matter. But in the meantime, it may sound silly, but when you go to bed at night, a lot of times, you know, we'll get messages in our sleeping state. And you can say before you go to sleep, I'd really like to have a chat have a little visit with you. And I'm going on your grandfather at this. I'm not saying that the other person you're speaking about isn't not going to come in or anything, but because I'm picking up on the grandfather, I'm just going to go on this for right now. I would say, you know, I'd really like to have a visit, or, you know, like, you know, can we have connect, or, you know, however you had talked to him before he passed on, however you connected or rewarded it, and before you go to sleep. And you'll be surprised that you, it's worked for me, it's worked for many, and especially if you're in need of something, they can feel, because he has been around, and like I said, I feel that he's been trying to connect with you. It's just that there's been a blockage of the connection, with psychically speaking, with you being able to receive, and that's because, like I said, you've been carrying so much on your back of others, but now you're, you know, releasing it. So I think that, yeah, I definitely see your grandfather, and I do feel that that's, and really right now, he would be the one that really you need some insight for regarding a relationship or some sort of thing you're involved in, that you're not in a past relationship that bothers you. I'm getting a lot of different stuff here. So I Michelle, are you following me?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
Oh, good. Sometimes I don't follow myself very well, but like I said, I don't, you know, I have so much stuff and I try to articulate, I can't say that word now, but you know, your grandfather is a great guy, and I think he's the one that you really need to have a connection or a little visit with, or whatever, or something. And I do feel there's, okay, also I wanted to ask you, the second person you were thinking about, is this somebody that is around your, is not an older person, right? It was someone that died younger?
Yes, he would have passed away younger.
Okay. did he have a lot of rage?
At the time that he passed?
Well, I'm just asking, well, maybe not at the time, but did he have a lot of anger prior? Was he one to get, he had some issues, and I kind of feel badly, I don't know at the time or not, but if you think
he
about
had
him.
He anger issues, thoughts, yes.
He did have raging issues,
he had,
you know.
Yes.
I do see him, he's really angry that he hasn't been able to connect with you. I'm not saying that you need to be fearful of him, but I can see that, you know, I want to say I don't like him, but, you know, part of me, what I'm getting is this, that I feel for him, definitely feel for him. There was stuff that wasn't what he had, couldn't sort out. He couldn't see his way to sort out things. And the rage that I see that he has, it was really coming from the situation at the time that he was in. I feel for him. I don't feel sorry for him, but I feel his rage for being valid, but also I feel that he could have controlled a little bit right at some point when he was around and not misdirected. But I do see him, and who is he to you? Who is he to you, wise?
He was my older brother.
A friend or?
My brother.
A brother? Okay.
Yeah.
gosh, that's sad. How long has it been? I'm going to ask you, I'm just going to ask you. Well, it's I see him coming in. I see your grandfather first. You first. And actually, you talked to your grandfather a little bit about him. And I feel that you definitely, you know, Michelle, there's definitely going to be a lot of activity in the next couple of months more so. You're going to be really aware of it. And I think this will be interesting and good for you. So,
okay.
Yes, I see both of them. And so, first is your grandfather. So I would suggest doing that tonight before you go to bed with your grandfather, asking. And your brother will come around soon after, I think within the next month, you'll be aware of being able to connect with him. The connection will be,
right.
You'll be aware of that. So I hope I helped you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And you take care of yourself.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Okay, I see it's time for what? All right. I understand correctly? Is there a... Because I'm not in the chat. Hi, everybody that's in the chat. I'm not in there. But is there a chat? Or are we done? We have no more callers.
We do have a question in the chat room from Pepper.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Steve. Could you read it? Because I can't see in there.
Absolutely, no problem. Well, Pepe is asking about a marriage. The question is, I'm wanting to know if my marriage is going to end soon or will it survive? And as I ask about Pepe's marriage, my guides say that it's been a very difficult time. The last 10 to 11 months have been particularly difficult. My guides are saying that Pepe's partner has made some mistakes, and that, as well as that, Pepe's partner has been slow to try and put things right. So it's been a difficult time, a very, very challenging time. That said, there is a lot of love between Pepe and Pepe's partner, and my guides are saying that it can actually work out well. There needs to be forgiveness for whatever happened, and genuine forgiveness for whatever happened, and an acceptance to really move forward and get back to happy times. If they can do that, then the relationship can survive, because there's a lot of love and there's a lot of potential. And that's what my guides have to say.
That's lovely. That's lovely.
Thank you, Maureen.
Yeah, that was very lovely. Very kind, lovely insight, and the guides giving me that. Okay, that was really lovely. Okay, and thank you, Pepe, for Pepe, yes? Thank you. Okay, thank you, Pepe, for asking about that. And, we had the last two were interesting cars. And, I know we had some issues, everybody, and it's called pre-retrograde issues. So there. So, I'm one of them. So, but I want to take a couple minutes before we close. And I want to get back to something interesting of what we were talking about. So we have a few minutes. And so I thought I would go back into, I think it was Jackie, I wanted to ask you about your family and how, where is it at? Here we go. How is it that, that these people do these things? Tell us about your experience with being different from the family. You and I share in this stuff.
Yeah, we do. Well, see, we only have a few minutes, but I'll give you the cliff notes version.
Yeah, I know.
and it's interesting because growing up in a family where, and it was more of a feeling, and I couldn't put into words. I couldn't understand, like, why do I feel this way? And, I should be feeling different, and it's a feeling. So it's hard to explain, but what I find is that I see it now as an adult that, it's okay to be different. And there were all the gifts in that, in being different. And rather than trying to fit in, because, fitting in a society, even in your family, it's about losing your identity. It's about becoming something, that you think they'll accept. Like we were saying earlier about, being selfish, that sort of thing. Right. And I think as children, and I guess I can speak on my behalf, is that nothing more important than just being accepted, for who you are. And differences or not, weirdness or not, without saying, well, your sister never did that, or your brother never did that, and they don't realize that that's a deep scar. It's really cuts deep, and it's trying to say, well, what, I'm not good enough? Like, you can't just see me for me. So a lot of that was there, but I look at it now, and of course, it's like, I'm glad those things happened, and I'm grateful for those experiences, and you know what? Different is good, and I'm glad I'm different, because I stand out,
So. That's right. I got an epiphany in the shower, well, I don't know, maybe it was a year ago, and the shower was insane, and I got really angry, and it occurred to me, I'm not the crazy. I was yelling at really loud about it. I go, I'm not the crazy one. I was never the nuts. They're crazy.
That's right.
It all occurred to me. And good crazy is good. Nuts is good. I don't care what people call, but you know, it is difficult. But so much rage came out of me about this because of the things that I do. And I still get the stuff to following, but it's about me letting it just be as it is. And that's the important thing. It's about the patterns we were talking about. And I'm going to be Dorothy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to empower, right. And I'm going to take on that wicked witch, or a couple of them that I might know of.
Right. Aside from what anybody else thinks.
No matter what anybody else, their perception is, and they told me this. Or, yeah, you know, because, you know, when you're younger, you're like a SpongeBob. And I love him, as we all know. Because, you know, you take it in and you accept it as truth. It may not be the truth. And bless our families' hearts, but sometimes we're in families for good lessons, yeah, and right. such, but sometimes, gosh darn it, gosh darn it, but it's all right, and it's okay, but there you have it. But,
yeah, thinking about it this way, Maureen, it helps us as parents now to break mm-hmm. that pattern.
Absolutely, you're right, I had successfully done that.
Right.
And I'm very proud, and I am going to say this, I'm going to be selfish and say, I'm very proud that I have done that.
It was
hard to do. I went to there and made sure I would do this, because you're absolutely right. That makes all the difference. And that is all, just for that, that means that everything's good, really. And I'm glad you brought that up. You've made me feel better. I don't need to see my counselor anymore.
I'll send you my bill.
Okay. Thank you, Jackie. But I gave a deal. So I think that brings us to the end of yet another outstanding show. Yes? Yeah, I think so. I wish to thank my yes. I would like to thank my co-host and our executive producer, Doug, very much so, for his ongoing commitment to internet radio and the shows, which is like no other, and also to his ongoing commitment of really being there for all of us, and for me included, for being there and having compassion and open heart and being open. I really appreciate that, Doug. And so if anybody doesn't know that, well, there you have it, because you know now. Mm-hmm. So next week's show will be anchored by Sharon. And what can we look forward to next week?
Well, it's really going to be an exciting show, because we have the renowned, international renowned psychic, Dougal Fraser, who's going to be coming on, and we're going to be talking about auras. So it's going to be really fantastic. So I hope everybody comes.
Well, I'm interested. They're talking about auras. Is this she? I'm sorry.
It's a man. It's Dougal. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it could be a unit.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. But he does readings, and he does them through color. It's really neat. When you go on his website, you can put in the color you feel like today.
Oh, really?
He's really great.
Oh, that's really neat, because sometimes they have, you know, they take photographs nowadays and some of these psychic fairs, I guess. It's real expensive.
Oh.
It's not the photography, the
Crinlian or something.
It's not that. No, it's called.
Oh.
But it's kind of like the same thing. I've heard that they can actually take a picture of somebody. It will show the aura.
That's
you've never heard of that?
Yeah,
yeah, I was wondering.
Yeah,
it's called Crinlian, like Crinlian photography.
It isn't that.
Crinlian.
It's the same. I think that. Excuse me. Gosh. I'm getting all choked up with you guys. I'm so proud. It's like that, Steve, but it's not that. But they decided to do it for the same thing. I'm curious about it. I don't know what to think about it, but I thought I'd ask Sharon anyway, because I'd like to check into that. So, it's the same idea, but someone took it for the aura thing.
Oh, maybe we can ask them next week.
Yeah, I think so. But there is a name. It's not, you know, Steve, it could be the same thing for all I know, and they name it something else. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I should invent it. If maybe it's all in my head, and I'll just invent it. But I don't know. So anyway, so I would like to say goodbye and bless your hearts, everybody. And thank you for hanging in at the technical ends of my microphone. And thank you for joining us. And everybody else would like to say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone. See you next week.
Good night, everyone.